meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Council President Buben Wunderhar?
Present.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you will join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item is the consent agenda. Questions, comments, motion?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Council President Buben Wunderhar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you. The next item we have, we need to adjourn to an executive session. I apologize for that happening at the front of the meeting, but we need to do that in this case. So we will need counsel and legal counsel, Troy and Wendy. Yes, go ahead, Bill.
Excuse me. With your permission, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, you won't be adjourning. You will just be convening into executive session because it's part of the whole meeting. But secondly, my recommendation is that this will be a matter for advice of legal counsel on the prospects of potential litigation, which is how it's noticed in the agenda. And I would recommend that I be the only one in the meeting along with the council and the mayor, and that I be appointed special secretary or clerk to take the minutes of the executive session. And then when you reconvene back into open session, then the clerk would proceed with taking the minutes of the regular meeting.
Okay.
Okay. I move we convene executive session pursuant to Idaho Code Section 74206-1F. To communicate with the city attorney to discuss the legal ramifications of and legal options for a controversy not yet being litigated but imminently likely to be litigated, and also that council will be acting as the clerk or secretary taking minutes during that meeting.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Oh,
yes. Chris, would you take a roll, please?
Council Member Cardoza?
Yes.
Council President Buben Wunderhar?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
All right, that motion carries. So what we need to do is just kind of have everybody... All right, we are back from executive session, where information was received and no action was taken. We are on to item 7A. This is a continuation of the public hearing and consideration of applicant's motion to continue the public hearing for additional evidence and consider a draft of findings of facts and conclusions of law for case number 18-02-S, preliminary plat, Madrone Heights subdivision. Chris, would you give us a report on what evidence was filed in the...
Mayor, Council, prior to cutoff, we received a letter from Givens Pursley on behalf of the applicant, which is a notice of appearance and motion to reopen the continued hearing in 1802S, pre-plat for Madrone Heights. It is included in your packet, as well as we received findings of fact and conclusions of law with decision in order of decision of preliminary plat. And those are included in your packet as well.
Okay, thank you. And then we have prepared the FCOs for consideration by council and advise that the council consider the motion to continue.
Okay, so first, to clarify the record, I was not at the last meeting, but I do intend to participate in the hearing. I have familiarized myself with the prior record, and I will continue to, if the motion passes, familiarize myself with the record of the proceedings. So I do intend to participate. Given Warren Councilman Christensen's absence tonight and his involvement to this point, I do think it makes sense to grant the motion to continue. So I move that we grant the motion to continue and to again open it for the receipt of evidence, including but not limited to evidence regarding health and safety issues related to sewer capacity and build out of the proposed subdivision, and traffic safety issues and build out of the proposed subdivision. And I move that we continue that hearing to our meeting on Tuesday, January 15th. And I would like to also direct staff to renotice and republish that public hearing. So that is my motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Okay, that motion carries.
Oh, we haven't voted.
What's that?
We haven't voted.
Oh. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carries. Did we cover everything there, Council?
I believe so, okay. Mr. Mayor.
Okay. So that will be continued then January 15th. Next item is, 7B was a public hearing tabled from November 20th, 2018 to December 4th, 2018. Applicant has withdrawn their request at this time. That was case number 18-01-S, preliminary plat for Whisper Meadows subdivision, and it will be placed on the miscellaneous calendar. Item C is a public hearing in consideration to approve case number 18-03-V, variance for Desert Hawk number 4 subdivision. Troy Bunin is our planner on this one. Is David Crawford going to present on this for being hearing?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so, and then also, do we have a sign-in sheet back there? All right, David, if you would like to approach the, give your name and address for the record, please.
Mayor, council members, my name is David Crawford with B&A Engineers. Address is located at 5505 West Franklin Road in Boise. I am here representing the applicant who's also here tonight related to Desert Hawk subdivision number 4 and our variance request to reduce the buffer width along Road. I think my letter went into the reasons why that occurred, but most of it was due to miscommunication on my part. In between all, early on in the project, before we ever submit, we always coordinate with the different agencies to make sure we've accommodated for the larger items, such as right-of-way widths and densities and et cetera, as a effective project. We thought we had done that when we submitted the preliminary plat, received approval, and ultimately started construction on the project. During the construction plan review, prior to construction, it became apparent when the CHD reviewed plans that the right-of-way width we had shown on the original preliminary plat was not correct. So after re- briefly looking back through my records and emails and stuff, I realized I never got the final conditions of approval from the highway district, and so it was an oversight on my part. So we're here today because of that right-of-way width dedication, because we had to reduce the width from 20 to 8 feet along 10-mile road due to that right-of-way width increase. So one of the reasons why we're requesting the variance, it actually affected both major roads in the area of Sunbeam Street and 10 Mile. The reason for the variance request on 10 Mile is because on Sunbeam we had additional right-of-way because it was an unopened right-of-way to build the road and maintain the buffer strip. So that's what we've done on there. We're able to accommodate the 20-foot wide buffer on Sunbeam Street, which is on the north side of the project, but we're unable to do so on west side of the project or the east side of 10 Mile Road. We felt the impact to those lots because the only way we had to really go was to reduce the length of those lots all along the frontage of 10 Mile. So part of this request is to reduce that buffer, but we're also not requesting a reduction in landscaping. So we can maintain the landscaping through a license agreement with ACHD within that 8-foot buffer strip and landscape the right-of-way. So I think that kind of explains what we're doing, and I'll stand for any questions you may have.
Okay, questions for Mr. Crawford?
Not this time, thanks.
All right, thank you. And this is a public hearing. I'm not forgetting you, Troy. And this is a public hearing. Is there anyone who did not get a chance to sign up who wishes to testify in this matter? Okay, thank you. Troy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the record, Mr. Mayor and Council Members, Troy DeHunan, Planner 3, 751 West 4th Street, in CUNA, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department. I think Mr. David Crawford presented the information that's before you tonight for 18-03-D, variance request for Desert Hawking IV. Because this is a variance from our code, staff's going to rely on the decision of the council and the mayor tonight. I really have nothing to present other than I did get some recent communication from ACHD, Kristen Little, who's the department head for the planning division there at ACHD. She did send me an email late yesterday afternoon. It's a small email, and I'll be happy to pass out a copy to each of you. This will be entered into the record as Exhibit B4. It's just something that ACHD wanted council to be aware of before they make a vote.
You just give me two.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Troy.
We have an extra one if you need it.
Apparently, I need to read it.
Hello?
I need to read it aloud into the record. So,
if this is Exhibit B4, do you have something marked after?
Ha ha.
Sorry.
Give me a second. Yeah. I don't have the hair to retain a lot of information, so that one got right over me. So, on the evening of, so on page 2, I guess that's kind of where it starts. It starts at the back and goes to the front. So, on the evening of, let's see, of October 30th, a request for public agency comment was sent out to government agencies. ACHD was one of those that was listed. In fact, her email was the very first one. The email simply states, "Evening greetings, everyone. Please review the packet included with this email and return relevant comments about the services your agency provides to CUNA's Planning and Zoning Office to be used in the public hearing scheduled for this project. Please submit your comments to our office on or before close of business on November 28, 2018. This project is scheduled for Tuesday, December 4, 2018, to go to our council. If you need additional time, please, to provide comments, please let our office know ASAP, sign Troy Buchanan. To which, on October 31st, the next day, Christy Little from ACHD responded, Troy, ACHD does not typically comment on variance requests for city requirements. However, information provided by the applicant's engineer seemed to have factual errors pertaining to ACHD. I am putting together a response to provide to you, signed Christy. As I was putting it back together, I realized that she never got back to me. And so on Thursday, November 29th, at 4:34, I sent her an email and I said, Christy, sorry that I didn't ask earlier. Did you have a response you would like me to include? Signed, Troy. And then on the afternoon of Monday, December 3rd, at 4:24, she responded, Troy, I apologize. I did not get to this as intended. I was concerned when I read the applicant's material that there was some finger-pointing towards ACHD requirements about the amount of right-of-way required on 10 Mile. This engineer has worked on multiple flats on 10 Mile Road and is familiar with ACHD policy. The plat submitted with the initial application showed a right-of-way dedication of 48 feet, as was noted in the ACHD report. Sometime later, the engineer changed the drawings to reflect something less, which was addressed during the review of the civil drawings for the first final plat. If the city allows the applicant to landscape the right-of-way and for that to count toward landscaping requirements, please note that when ACHD widens the road, meaning 10 Mile Road, the landscaping will be removed, and that may make for a difficult situation with homeowners. Thanks, Christy.
Okay.
So, with that, I would stand for any questions that you might have about that.
Questions for Troy? Not at this time. Thank you. All right, and so this is a public hearing. We'll go ahead and open the public hearing. I have two people that signed up, one marked that they wanted to testify, and the other one didn't specify. So we'll start with Cindy Griesen. Did I get that right? Okay. Oh, I see. That's a high. All right. Yeah, so if you would just state your name again and the address for the record, thanks.
My name is Cindy Giesen. I live at 1363 South F Street. I don't have an opinion on this, but I do have questions. first, I'd like to ask, I didn't get any of the notices, and I'm on 2.5 acres, and I can see the construction going on. So when you're in a rural area, I'm wondering if we could reach more people with the notices. Which leads to my questions. In seeing that they're reducing things, I had conflicts in the paperwork. The builders wanted to go to an 80-foot buffer, and then what I heard the CUNA planner said, they're going from 30 to 20, reducing 8 feet. So I'm a little confused. The one thing that would clear that up is I'm just concerned that we try to follow the CUNA city codes without exceptions, you know, when you can, because I've seen it cause a lot of trouble in other communities. And so my main concern is I see that you want at least a 5 foot sidewalk with a 4 to 5 to 9 foot buffer to the road. And so I'm just wondering if this reduction would affect any of that part of the road. And if any of this reduction, if you were to park on the road, would it also cause an effect? Because it's pretty narrow there. If you look at the other subdivisions prior to that, there's a school, subdivisions, land, and the park being constructed. And if you look at Google Map from a higher view, you look down and it looks like there's going to be a wider 10-mile road because they have meandering sidewalks on the two subdivisions. Then you got to deal with the you know, that stuff will be probably divided to the other two lots. But, you know, consistency would be nice. Mm-hmm. This subdivision also comes out onto South Ash, and so why I'm alerted to this issue is when you go on South Ash, where there was some good subdivision, we've got a lot of road to drive on. But when we get to the older stuff, we end up pretty much taking up the whole lane, you know, with cars. So I just want to ask that you, first of all, make sure that we're trying to follow the code. I just like to know which part, where's the 8 feet coming from? Because there's a landscape buffer, sidewalk buffer, and, you know, so it's kind of confusing. So just be alert to that. The other thing I noticed is the reason for this request was so they could build the kind of houses they want, okay? It would take 900 square feet away from each lot. But I noticed on the other side of the lot, they had lots that were 1,000 square feet less, you know, so it seems like they could still do it. You know,
okay.
It would interfere with the kids riding bikes. You know, I prefer we didn't change our ordinance system.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll get answers to your questions here in just a few minutes. Thank you. Next, I had Noel. Did Noel? Okay. Did you want to testify? Sure. Okay. Go ahead. And yeah. So if you would just state your name and address for the record.
Sunbeam, you know, is that going to be a concern? You know, so I don't know really where we're going with all the subdivisions. Seems like in the last 10 years, you know, CUNA has grown a lot, and I'm dealing with a lot of other issues. The subdivision has been gracious. They've actually, the owners have opted to help out in areas where the public. Those in charge of Ada County had oversight in a couple of things. The subdivision, even though they weren't forced to, they went in and double sleeved the pipe that ran down Sunbeam over my well for the sewage line. I thought that was very nice of them. But like I said, this isn't about how nice the subdivisions are or what they're doing. This is really about precedence to me. You know, so in the future, if you guys make a decision to allow for a variance, it could possibly open up other variances and other requests. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Did council have any questions for either of the?
No.
Okay. So, Troy, would you possibly speak to the notification? Notice requirements. I think her question was that she's kind of close, but I'll let you give the.
Mr. Mayor, Council, without knowing exactly where the property lies, I couldn't tell you. I could go find out for you real quick if I have the address. Staff did send out notices in excess of the state requirement, which is 300 feet. I believe we went to 450 feet, or at least 400 feet.
There is a map in the packet. It's on the last page of this section. So it's page 145 overall. That maybe we can show Ms. Giesen at some point. So she can see kind of where all the notifications did go and if she was excluded or whatever.
Yeah, that would be a very good solution.
Okay.
I can point you to it because I noticed that too.
I looked in the map, or I looked in the staff report, and I only found
it. So it's page 18 of 27 for 7C overall packet, page 136. It's a memo from Paul Stevens.
Okay.
And it says in the, I guess, the second paragraph, second sentence, request a variance to reduce the buffer strip on 10 Mile Road from 30 feet to 22 feet, equating to an 8-foot buffer strip width reduction. And I noticed that, too, that it was a little bit confusing. So I think that's where she's seeing where, so is it a 22-foot buffer or is it an 8-foot buffer?
It's a 20-foot buffer that's required. It's being reduced by 12 feet down to 8 feet.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if this is a question for you or whom, but I guess I do have some concern about, you know, if ACHG is indicating that they do intend to widen that road. I don't know off the top of my head how wide lanes are and that sort of thing, but my assumption is, and so maybe somebody can help me with whether this is a valid concern, are we talking about then that there would be no sidewalk once if the road is widened in the future and it would just end up going really close to backyard fences, or do we know?
She doesn't indicate really what was going to happen with the sidewalk, or if it would be removed entirely or just the sidewalk would be pushed closer to the backyard fences.
The drawing, just so you know, it looks like the sidewalk is already going to be hugging very close to the fences.
There's a high likelihood that they would then move the sidewalk. They wouldn't remove it, but it would just be moved. There's going to be about 96 feet overall from right-of-way to right-of-way. This applicant is providing 48 feet on the east side. 48 feet has already been provided on the west side. So that's a 96-foot wide right-of-way. I am unaware of anything that ACHG is planning wider than 96 feet.
So I guess just help me understand it a little bit more in terms of, am I understanding correctly that right now what we're talking about is from where the road stops and the curb begins to basically where the fence is for the backs up onto the lots, right? That space is 8 feet?
I believe that that's what it is, yes. That's what they're saying that it's going to have to be.
Okay, because I mean, I do think it's a valid concern. ACHG seems to be indicating it's not if they widen the road, but she says when ACHG widens the road. So I'm just concerned if that means then that there just won't be a sidewalk at all on that side?
Maybe our ACHD representative can answer that. This is the only information I have. I do not think they're interested in getting rid of the sidewalk.
Okay, maybe one more question. And if the ACHD gentleman would be able to answer, that'd be awesome. I noticed that included in the packet is a letter from ITD, but there isn't, I mean, I know we have this email from ACHD, but would it be customary for ACHD to weigh in on something like this or no?
For ACHD?
Yeah, I mean, I noticed we have something from ITD specifically, so right. That just seems weird that we would get something from them, but not ACHD because it's an ACHD road that we're talking about.
So I'd refer you back to her email to me on October 31st, where Christy says ACHD does not typically comment on variance requests for city requirements.
Okay.
I think ITB is just answering everything that comes at them because we said, where are your comments? So they're answering everything. But where this is a city requirement, I think ACHD, they would have not provided comment except for the reasons that she stated.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. So, I can't tell if he's behind you. Is he here?
David?
Is there any way we could have him just maybe comment on if ACHD plans to widen the road, as it sounds like they might, and then how wide lanes are and that sort of thing, and if it seems like we would be sidewalkless?
Sure. Yeah, Yeah, thank you. I don't know if you're familiar with the case exactly or not, but...
I can speak generally.
If so, you would, just state your name and address for the...
So David Corcoran, 3775 Garden Street, Senior Transportation Center with ACHG. 2 points. One, if we were to widen the road, we would include sidewalk on both sides. So that wouldn't be... By road, we're defining the entire sidewalk, the sidewalk corridor as a road in that context. We don't have in our capital improvement plan or five-year work plan right now a plan to widen the road. That being said, we are preserving the right of way, and it's certainly possible that at some point down the line that road will be widened. There's no firm plan right now to do so, but it's certainly something we're preserving for the future. So.
And how many feet wide is a lane?
Typically 11 feet is what we're dealing with these days.
So if, as I'm understanding it, only 8 feet exist between where the current lane stops and where the yards begin, it sounds like it would be impossible to widen the road and have a sidewalk.
So depending on the amount of right-of-way width that's being preserved there, if it's a full 96 feet, is that the number that is being held? Okay, so I would say it's unlikely that a sidewalk would be impacted in that case. Because that would give you, a few lanes of road plus a sidewalk over. It's certainly possible that the widening could go into the landscape buffer as the variance is proposed. I don't have enough information on me to, provide you with a sound judgment on that one way or another. I can check in with it. That's
yeah, it may just be that I'm not understanding the dimensions or that they're not. I guess it's just not super clear to me. It sounds like what we're talking about is that there are 8 feet that exist between where the roadway ends and where somebody's yard would begin. And so I'm not totally sure how to interpret the whole 96/48 feet right of way and what that means for this project and the variance that's being requested.
So I guess all I would say is that typically if we're referring to a roadway, that's what Christy is referring to. She's referring to the edge of the sidewalk, the far edge of the sidewalk, as far as where the roadway might go. That being said, I would need to see. I would need more information to tell you definitively one way or another.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Did council have anything further before we bring up for rebuttal?
No, I don't think so.
Richard, you good?
I'm not sure where I read it, but I thought there was agreement between ACHD and the developer to use that. But I don't see anything in here from Ada County Highway District authorizing that agreement. Do you have anything that's in printed form from Ada County that shows you have permission to encroach on their right of way?
Yeah, if you wouldn't go ahead and step up. Thank you.
I may be wrong, but I thought somewhere I read that, and I can't find it now. But
Mayor and Councilmember Cardoza, currently we have a landscape prior to requesting a signature, we have applied for that license agreement. And I don't know that it's been recorded yet, but we don't normally get that information until we go into the Ada County Surveyor for a plat review.
Okay.
But it is a common occurrence. I've never had one denied. They actually require it for the fee. We anticipate that if it hasn't been reported, it'll be reported shortly. We haven't received any negative response from the Highway District to our application.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know if you want to go ahead and go right on into your rebuttal or.
Sure.
Okay.
So again, my name is David Crawford, DNA Engineers. I should have said that earlier. There's been a lot of talk about setting precedents and right-of-way widths and lanes and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm going to start here, I guess, with some of the maybe the lighter items. The buffer width, we are asking for a reduction in the buffer width from 20 feet to 8 feet. The buffer sits from the back of the house, the back of the property line where the fence is, and extends towards the street side. So that 8 feet's there. It's going to be fully landscaped. During our plan review, and there was a comment from the Ada County Highway District to maintain a specific dimension from the center line of 10 Mile Road to where the meandering sidewalk has been or is going to be placed. So that complies with the requirements that they stipulated. That is obviously their intent is to make sure that it stays out of future expansions. So we presume that, any expansion that they would do, at least in the current plot, that the sidewalk would remain exactly where it is, and the pedestrian ramps and everything else that we're putting in. With that being said, I think the first lady that was up here indicated that Ash was coming out. She was concerned about traffic onto Ash Street. Sunbeam does have right-of-way along our north boundary out to Ash Street. We are not improving it all the way to Ash Street, however. We are doing extensions of water, sewer, and pressurized irrigation about 1,800 lineal feet north and east of our development, which is going through an Ash Street corridor, but we are only improving about 600 and change feet along the north boundary, so it won't connect Sunbeam to Ash Street. It's going to remain open as it is now, and that will be along. Wish we had a map up there pointed out, but so I hope that helps out with at least the accessibility for traffic to Ash Street. The reduction, I think, was also indicated in there that the reduction is, 900 square feet or something like that, and that, really doesn't impact those homes, but it really does impact the value of a home, primarily what kind of home you can build. So it adds value to have a diversity of home styles within the development by having different varying lot sizes. So the larger the lot, the larger the home that you can build. It increases the value of the development, and it also increases the taxes that are collected within by the city. I think there was another comment by both Noel and the lady before him that indicated that this is setting new precedent. The precedent was set many years ago by Sutter's Mill. There's a variable landscape buffer on Sutter's Mill that's 2,000 feet long that exists on the west side of 10 Mile, and it varies from 5.5 to 9.5 feet, or I think I did the calculation in my letter on that, actually. It averages an average width of 7.5 feet, so it varies between 5 and 9.5 feet for that almost 2,000 feet along there. It should be noted that the curb line, and this is going to council member or council president.
You can just leave it that.
are we going to lose the sidewalk? Are we not? Are we going to lose all the landscaping? Or that how big are lanes? That type of thing. Currently, when Desert Hawk subdivision is complete, there will be a 36-foot back-to-back curb section. Okay, so that's adequate room for parking on 10 Mile, which I also heard, and two lanes of traffic. Now, parking's not allowed on 10 Mile. It's a collector road. So all the lots that are adjacent to 10 Mile actually back up to 10 Mile. So nobody can really park there and get to their house. Nobody really parks along 10 Mile. It's like all the other collector roads in town. So there's a buffer strip and then the parking area, the roadway areas that are in there. But it should be noted that between the buffer strip and the curb line, there is 23 feet of dirt. And we're landscaping all of that. There is more than adequate room in there to add future widening without removing or bringing the roads up to the back of people's houses. That almost 23 feet, I believe it might be 21 or 22 feet to the back of curb. So we have 8 feet of buffer strip. Then we have another 22 feet of dirt that exists So there's more than adequate room on our side to add an entire lane, turn lane down 10 miles and not impact and only increase that width by, it's 12-foot lanes is the kind of the standard, but they do allow reductions to 11. So that would only reduce that to 6 feet, or would only reduce 6 feet off of that. So if you take the 22 minus the 6, you'd end up at, what, 16 feet plus the 8? We're actually got way more buffer out there than we perceive any future expansion on the south side of Kuna. Now, if we're talking about 10-mile road north, an arterial collector street or something like that, where there may be widening for, you know, the freeway access and stuff, then yeah, maybe, you know, we need to look at that. But on this, on the south side of town there, it, you know, they're basically dead end at Kuna Road, about a quarter mile south or half mile south. So, you know, there's lots and lots of room out there for widening that could occur that wouldn't affect the sidewalk. If we aren't setting a new precedent, that precedent was set long before us when Sutter's Mill went in, and we're here asking for the same types of consideration. We're not asking for a reduction in landscaping requirements to the city. You know, we're going to landscape it. We don't want to have that big wide dirt strip sitting out there. So I'll stand for any questions you may have.
There was a three-page letter from B&A engineers to the city of Kuna, and the back page of that is a picture of the road with the landscape. Is that what this is going to look like, or is this an area that's full width?
Mayor, council members, the picture is actually of Sutter's Mill, north of this project.
Uh-huh.
This is on 10 Mile Road. That's looking on the west side of 10 Mile Road, so that picture is looking south. And it's just a picture showing what's out there right now, and that's how Sutter's Mill looks. We're actually going to be doing about 3 or 4 times that landscaping out there. And that buffer strip is between 5 and 9.5. So it averages 7, whatever that average is. I can't seem to remember. Sorry about that. So 7.5 foot.
I am.
So I was looking at page 132 178 in the total package.
No, I fully understand. I think the confusion for me is stemming from am I hearing correctly that there's apparently going to be like 30 feet between the edge of the road and where is this like 20 feet of dirt that we're talking about that also abuts the 8 feet that will.
Our landscape buffer strip is 8 feet behind from the back of the lots to the side. The curb line for the street that's going to be built is another 22 feet to the west. So we have the back of the lots, 8 feet plus 22 to get to the curb line.
Where, when you say curb line, you're talking about 10 Mile Road that exists already?
Not where it exists already, where we're going to build it.
Okay. So, yeah, I think the thing I'm struggling with is there's no, I'm not finding any sort of illustration or anything other than, like, right, I see it, but it makes it look like 10 Mile Road is right there and there's 8 feet and then it's the back of the lots.
It does. You'll notice just on the west side of those trees that are lying there on the landscape line, you'll see that. That's the right-of-way line. Or excuse me,
what
that's
is the
where our property line is. And then the right-of-way line is just on the right-hand side of the sidewalk on landscape plan L1.1.
Yeah, I'm assuming where all the little bushes and stuff are,
that's
right.
So the curb line is actually out along the property line. That dark line I was pointing out at first, that's where the curb line is, where we will be building. There's 23 feet between the buffer strip and the curb line. But that's the point. Edge of asphalt, well, that's, yeah. The road where it'll ultimately be built is actually 23 feet west of the buffer.
Okay. I guess I'm still just confused about if there's that much space, then why do we need a variance?
We are, through our landscape plan, have shown the landscaping to be placed within that area.
And then the sidewalk would be behind that, so there's the road and then the landscape and then the sidewalk, is that?
There's road, landscaping, sidewalk, more landscaping.
Okay.
How much more, I mean, I don't want to belabor this, but from the drawing, it looks like that sidewalk is, like, pretty hugged up against the back fence line. Is that not the case?
Councilmember, yes, it is the case.
Okay.
It's pretty hugged up there. It is consistent with what's across the street, but the objective of that is to keep it out of the way of any future right-of-way.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so then again, for clarification, the picture that was up on the screen with the grass and the sidewalk, is that what it's going to look like? I mean, is that the same width as what we're asking for, the one that was looking south?
Mayor, council members, in general terms, it's similar to what it's going to look like. The picture that's shown, I want to be very clear, is of Sutter's Mill. It was provided as an example, and it will look similar in relation to where the curb line is to, say, the fence area. But we're going to be adding way more landscaping than that, trees, bushes,
okay.
Things
yeah.
Like that.
So yeah, the landscaping, just if, I mean, if we forget about what the landscaping looks like, is that the same width as what we would be seeing in what you're asking for?
Mayor, exactly, yeah.
Okay. Anything further?
Mayor, I'd have
yeah.
no objection to the variance. The only thing I would want to make sure that we had was a copy of the license agreement with Ada County Highway District for our own protection here with Ada County Highway District. Okay.
Wendy, did you want to comment?
I was just going to make comment that we generally have a copy of the license agreement. It comes in with the construction plans. So we're not worried.
I wish it was included asking for a variance today so we have every dot, every T crossed and every dot just in the pack agenda.
He can't at this time because it's not
right.
ready to. But you can make it a condition that he provide a copy to the city.
To the city. Okay.
Councilmember Cardoza, Mayor Steer, council members, we'd be more than happy to provide that license agreement. It is a requirement of both Ada County Highway District and honestly the development community to get those license agreements in place. place so they can maintain the landscaping and have that right to do so. But it's normally done at the final plat process when we ask for the signature of the Ada County Highway District. So we normally apply for those in advance, and then sometime months later we'll get them. But we'd be more than happy to provide that to the city when we provide the final plat for a signature.
Okay. You're asking us to make a variance, assuming you have the agreement. I would like to see the agreement to make sure our variance is proper. So,
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Cardoza,
sure.
If you make it a condition of approval, the city will not issue a signature on the final plat, and ACHD is also going to require something too, because they are a signature on the final plat, and they're not just going to let something just go, and either will be. I don't know if that makes you feel better or not, but it's hard for him to get the aid without a reason to have the aid.
It's hard to make a decision based on the assumption of an agreement if we don't see the agreement.
ACHD issues these license agreements all the time, and we actually have the final hammer at final plat.
Okay.
He doesn't provide one at final plat. We don't sign. Paul and Chris do not sign the final plat.
Okay.
In fact, the final plat will have to come back before this body for approval, and we can just check and balance right there before it even gets close.
And then just for the record, that was Troy that was speaking for the recording. It's okay.
Troy Buchanan's right.
And where do you live? Okay. Anything further for the applicant? Thank you.
You're still studying?
Yeah, I think so for me it was a matter of what does that look like when we're talking about removing sidewalks and stuff, so mm-hmm. That's why I kind of wanted that picture of the green grass and the sidewalks up there just so we can see in relationship what that actually looks like. So that was my main concern, was like the others, that sounded like the fence was going to be on the road. So. But with the picture, we see that's not the case.
Well, I'm not seeing the pictures being super helpful, because allegedly there's like a huge additional amount of space between the road curb and where the landscaping would start.
Okay.
So it allegedly wouldn't.
So
look
that's
like
what
this.
It would look like now. But if they widen the road, then it will no longer look like that.
No.
Okay.
This is why it's so confusing, because I don't think there's a good...
Sure.
So as I understand it, this is the landscaping, some additional landscaping other than this, but then from where the grass stops, there would be like 20 feet of just dirt and then 10-mile road.
Okay.
That's the way I understand it, yes.
Yeah. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I don't know if anybody else wants to talk, but so after that long, painful back and forth, I think I'm satisfied that it sounds like we won't have an issue with the sidewalk or, in theory, the landscaping needing to be disturbed even if the road is expanded. That is what I understand I have been told, and therefore believed to be true. With that in mind, it appears, yep.
I just want to remind you that we have not had a motion or a vote to close the public hearing yet.
Okay.
So addressing legal on that issue, I understand that we don't want to close those until we have finished all of our deliberation?
That would be my recommendation. It's all part of the hearing, and your determination is part of the hearing. You've just closed off the receipt of evidence would be the motion at this point, and then go to deliberation.
Okay.
Okay, so I move we close the public hearing? Is that what's happening now?
The receipt of?
For the receipt of evidence.
Evidence.
And go and continue the hearing for deliberation.
Okay. Sorry. I move we conclude the receipt of evidence. Is that?
Yeah. You're
okay.
Concluding that, and then you're proceeding to deliberate.
Okay.
That means you're not going to accept any more testimony, either in support or in opposition of this application for variance, and you're going to simply deliberate on the record that's before you. Then you make your recommendation and decision, and then once you've concluded that, then you will conclude the public hearing because it's part of it.
Gotcha.
So my motion stands.
Second. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, so as I was saying, as I understand it, there shouldn't be an issue with sidewalk being removed or anything like that if the road needs to get expanded. It sounds as if there's adequate space. The request appears to comply with the comp plan and with city code. So I move we approve case number 1803V with the conditions of approval as listed and with the condition that we get the documentation Councilman Cardozo was requesting from ACHD.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second for approval for case number 18-03-B with the conditions listed and requiring that approval from ACHD. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Now we need a motion to close the public hearing.
I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to close that public hearing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. All right. Now, item 8A, we have an appeal hearing for Enrique's Mexican Restaurant, EDU Calculations. This is continued from August 21st, 2018. This took a little extra time, actually quite a bit of time, for staff to go through and make recommendations and put together information for this meeting for us to look at. The difference on this normally is just the fact that our our calculation sheet is used for new construction, and so that this is the first time we really had a major issue with modifications and tenant improvements in an existing structure like this. So we are at the point where we would have council move to open the public hearing on, or the hearing on the appeal.
I move we open the hearing on the appeal.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to open the hearing on the appeal. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And then if everyone sees, we have a procedure and process here, and if you are all okay with that, don't want to change anything on it, if we could have a motion to accept that following that format for the conduct of the hearing.
What?
We have in the packet there is a hearing procedure and process.
Okay.
And if we are all comfortable with that process, we need a motion to approve that process.
What's it called? Okay, I move we approve the appeal hearing processes and procedure.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the procedure and process for this hearing. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. All right, so I need to request identification of who is appearing for staff and who is appearing for the appellant. So who do we have for staff? We have Engineer Paul. And was there anybody else from staff? Chris? Okay. And then Ana and Enrique, are you both going to present for the appeal? Okay. And I believe that's it. Okay. Pre-marked exhibits. So we have exhibits in the packet. Did everyone agree with those? And there's nothing additional to be provided for that.
Are you asking us if we have additional, or are you asking the parties?
Staff
if they have?
And okay. Did you guys get a chance to look at the packet and what information was provided in there? Did you have anything further, evidence-wise, to add to that other than testimony?
No.
Okay. Thank you. We're all good?
Staff doesn't have anything additional either. Anna and Enrique, could you take up to the mic and just identify yourselves that you're here on behalf of the appeal hearing?
Okay, thank you. All right, so appellant and staff need to be advised that this appeal hearing will be conducted under a rule of evidence that is not formal, centered upon what is relevant to this appeal. Relevant evidence is defined by the Idaho Courts of Rules of Evidence at Rule 401 as follows. Relevant evidence means evidence having any tendency to make the existence of any fact that is of consequence to the determination of the action more probable or less probable than it would be without the evidence. So in the offering of testimony, so we're just going to go and state your name and address and provide that evidence if there's anything further. I did that already. All right, so I think we're down to staff presentation. Perhaps if we could just talk about the evidence provided by Paul and anyone else on the staff that provided any information there. If you could maybe just tell us, Paul, how you came with what you provided there.
Mayor and Council, Paul Stevens, City Engineer. I think I live here today. there was quite a bit of discussion on equivalent dwelling units, affectionately known as EDUs, and Bob asked me to take over looking through it to make sure we have an unbiased look at it, since I'm not familiar with any of the history behind this. As such, I did have to ask quite a few questions of various people to come up with answers, excuse me, and so that's how we derived this information. Chris sent me a package of like 380, I think it was, pages, 340, I thought it was more like 500, but yeah. it took quite a while to wade through all that, and the culmination of that is the memo that you have before you. If you would like, I could read that into the record, or I can just highlight it.
I think you can just highlight it would be sufficient.
Okay. Originally, in the background, this building's been used for multiple people and multiple different businesses. Some were hair salons, some were food establishments, and there's still one that is the Cowgirl, which I understand is a bar, I guess. Anyway, so they have different EDU requirements. So we also looked at how many EDUs have actually been sold to people in that building, and the total is about five, I think it was. Five EDUs were sold, and we couldn't really find any records for an additional four that should have been sold. And then based on the Cuna City Council approved EDU table, and the modified uses as it stands right now, worked out to 11.1 EDUs. So if you subtract the 5 from the 11, you end up with about 9. And so there's a few more that are needed to be purchased by somebody. So I looked at Enrique's supplied a table, and they initially estimated a total of 11. And Cowgirls Events had 2. Commercial Kitchen was 2. Body Salon was 3.4, Simple Perfection was 2.1, the total 9.4 with an outstanding balance of 1.7. I looked at that a little bit more, and the Cowgirls event was probably more like 1.5, which made 8.9 left over. And that, anyway, the gist of this is that there's about 2 to 2.2 EDUs that need to be taken care of. In the package, there were also some memos for Gordon Law, who had to work with Enrique at some point, and he said that they would only have to pay the difference from the existing use to their changed use. So that means that we should. So I made three options for you. Solution one was to honor Gordon Law's commitment and charge 2 EDUs, or you could charge Enrique's for the whole difference, or you could monitor Enrique's water use for 1 year and compare it to average EDUs and then work out a fee from that.
Okay.
Any questions?
Anybody have any questions for Paul?
Paul? Over here, Paul.
Yeah.
Did you say 11 minus 5 turned out to be 9?
I probably did say that, but it probably isn't quite right, is it?
Is the math different in England or Canada than it is here?
It's really different when you're standing up in front of a bunch of guys like you.
Okay.
The written version should be correct.
Okay.
I had
a
quick question. I don't know if I might be trying to compare apples and oranges, but I noted on the first page you mentioned that three of the sold EDUs that we can account for, three of the five, were credited to Cowgirls.
Yes.
But then when we're doing the chart, you mentioned only assigning 1.5 to Cowgirls?
Yes, one is for the Cowgirls as it is right now. The other was for Cowgirls Event Center, which is no more.
Oh, okay, got it.
And that space has been taken over by Regions.
Got it, okay. And so that's how we account for the slight difference between the appellant's calculation of 1.7 and your calculation of 2.2, which you suggested rounding down to 2 even.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, anything further? Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that very much. Anna and Enrique, would one of you like to, or both of you like to, present what you would like to get before council here?
Do I say my name again?
Yes, please.
Adam Paz.
That'll pull down if you want to do that. Okay. And did anybody have any questions for
Anna
and Enrique?
Everything was self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Very All right.
Your
Thank
presentation
you
last time made sense. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
And then, so as has been stated in there, there was some discrepancies on. What had actually been paid for in the way of EDUs, and originally when the building was built, we didn't, EDUs were non-existent. We didn't have those in CUNA, although we did have some sewer hookups and that type of thing. But it made it really difficult because of the records that we had from that far back to provide for what was actually paid for and what wasn't. But as has been mentioned, it's probably not fair to charge someone else for fees that other people should have paid for. So that kind of took that argument off the table and brought us down to doing the best we could to figure out what EDUs would have been required for all of the uses that were there, and that's how we got to where we're at here. So
Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
On page 8 of 29, it was Gordon Law Solutions. I'm not sure I understand Solution 1 in opposition to Solution 2. What is the difference between the two?
I'm not sure I understood what you said.
Pardon me?
And you're on my deaf side, too.
What's the difference between the Solution 1 and Solution 2? Is Solution 2 assuming that we're going back to 9.4 then, plus the 1.7, which would be 11.1?
If you assumed that all of the 11 EDUs had to be paid, you'd have to charge Enrique's about 9 EDUs. So that was my solution number 2, would be you'd have to charge him for all of that.
And solution number 1 would be based on 2.2 rounded off to 2 EDUs.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Sure.
Okay. Further questions?
If there are none, are we ready for the motion to close presentation of evidence and proceed to deliberation?
I am.
And it is so moved. Is there a second?
And seconded.
Motion is made and seconded to close presentation of evidence and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries.
So in terms of deliberation, I think solution 1 seems eminently fair. I feel like it would be very unfair of the city to change the rules mid-game. And the fact that the appellants received information and I would call them assurances from the prior city engineer at the very beginning of their project and relied to their detriment on those assurances in undertaking their project and developing, redeveloping that great site. I feel like it would be unfair for us to kind of pull the rug out from under them and say, oh, just kidding, we're actually going to charge you many, many, many times more than what we told you we were going to charge you. I don't feel like that would be fair in this situation in the least. So it makes sense to me that the calculations that they provided us last time and that the city engineer has also been able to come to on his own, they make a ton of sense to me. And so I would certainly be in favor of just charging 2 EDUs for the difference in use. Does anybody else have thoughts?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think solution 1 is the only answer. I mean, Anna and Enrique took a okay building and made it into a very great thing, and to charge them for the shortfalls of past council or whoever was in charge of such things is just criminal. I mean, their process to move there probably took a little longer than they wanted, but they had the word of then city engineer Gordon Law, so I feel we should totally honor that as well.
I'll just throw out one other thing, and that is that I think we would potentially be setting a dangerous precedent if we don't consider prior uses. As Lisa noted in her comments, if we treat existing commercial the same as brand new construction, it offers no incentive for folks to, fix up and use the buildings that we have downtown and that sort of thing. And so So I think it also just makes sense on a more global scale of making sure that we're treating those properties appropriately, considering the uses that have been in there, and not penalizing folks for maybe insufficient record keeping that the city may have engaged in over the years. So,
okay.
Rich, did you have any thoughts?
I have to be careful what I say because I see they have legal counsel sitting there playing with a book. So, and I know how mean she can be. So, I think one of the things that we need to address, and I think you hit it, Brianna, and Lisa did, is we don't seem to have some consistency on older buildings. So, we probably need to work on that ASAP. So I would feel fair that Gordon Law did a good job. I would feel comfortable with two EDUs as being assessed as outstanding. So
okay. Is there any further deliberation on that?
No, I'm assuming we're going to need some direction in terms of how exactly the rest of this is structured.
It shows that we need to set a date of a meeting for consideration and adopt him for findings of fact.
There's go to the bullet point before that. It says we're supposed to announce the preliminary decision and instruct the preparation. Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I think given the presentation of evidence and the discussions that you've had and what you will support, that we can move forward with findings and decision and bring them back to you for your consideration when you continue this hearing. It sounds to me like there would be a motion to support a recommendation number one from the city engineer for two EDUs, which is probably granting in part the appeal that has been made here, then we'll present those for your consideration at the next hearing. And I think that's really all you'll need to do at this point, unless there's something specific you want in the record.
I don't think so.
Or
so
condition of granting that.
So at this point, are we moving to grant in part the appeal, or what form does this motion need to take? Because I'm not totally clear.
I think you could grant it in part in accordance with recommendation number one of the city engineer.
Okay.
For two EDUs.
And then
I guess the only other question I might have is that when does that become effective? Is that effective? I'm not sure if I know from looking at the staff report what date that's effective, and I don't know if you could maybe ask the city engineer in his proposal when he would want that effective, because we would include that in the order. Does it relate back? Or does it start now?
Okay.
And commencing with this date of your direction, then, if that's your choice.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would guess that we're going to make it effective when we finalize this, which
that'd
would
be
the I don't think there's going to be much contention here, so we could probably go for the date of the 18th and just continue that hearing.
I assume we are continuing the hearing for the purpose of
receipt and approval of the findings in the final order.
That would be really helpful if we could get
yes.
It's going to be up to them. I would think they'd want to be comfortable with how it reads.
Sorry, is there something else I'm supposed to be adding?
Council President, would you like this to go, when it comes back, your findings and facts, would you like that to go on the consent agenda, or would you like to have it as a discussion item in business?
I would think we can just put it on the consent agenda, and then if we need to pull it, we can take specific action to do that.
Okay. We'll follow through with that then.
Okay. So this is going to be super disjointed because I'm still not clear on what exactly all is supposed to be in this motion, but I move we grant in part the appeal, setting as the setting an assessment of two EDUs, and instruct staff to prepare findings of fact and an order of decision in accordance with the discussion that we had, and that those would be on the agenda for the meeting on December 18th, and that the hearing is continued until December 18th, and at that time we would make a decision.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Mayor, I've got a question. There is a sewer service fee payment agreement. Does that have to be addressed in a motion that any fees paid would be applied to the two EDUs so there's not a forfeiture of any of that money?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, what I planned on doing, given what your directions are this evening, I would have a discussion with Public Works and the city engineer about that particular fact. And that, since that's an agreement issue, I think we can come back with how that needs to be handled separately.
So you're saying it does not have to be part of the motion?
Unless the city engineer, Mr. Stevens, believes it should be. It strikes me we could probably, once this decision's been made, the EDUs are established at two, we look at that agreement and decide what we need to do at that point. I'm not prepared to give you an answer to that question right now.
So my recommendation would be to treat that separately, because it is a separate agreement. So
okay.
That would be my thought. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you very much. So the original agreement, so the question is what happened with the last part, and I'm assuming you're talking about the original agreement that you signed so that you could get a certificate of occupancy. So we're going to treat that as a separate issue so that we can get this handled, and they're going to have to look through that and figure out what's
certainly
in there.
Certainly the intent, as I understand it, would be that we wouldn't try to affect that contract because we're not charging the 10 or 11 EDUs. And that, of course, if you made any payments, they would be credited towards the two EDUs that we would be assessing, just for clarification. I don't know if that helps at all.
Okay.
Have your lawyer talk to me tomorrow.
All right, thank you. So there was a request for a quick break, so we'll recess for 5 minutes and we'll come back. Is that good? Okay. Thank you. All right, we are ready to proceed again. We are down to 9A. This is the third reading and consideration to approve ordinance number 2018-37. An ordinance of the City Council of Cuna, Idaho, amending Title 7, Chapter 3, Section 6, titled Exclusive Reservations, to allow for exclusive reservation and certain amenities, and amending Title 7, Chapter 3, Section 7, titled Application for Reservation, adding a reservation time frame, and amending Title 7, Chapter 3, Section 8, titled Vacation of Parks Upon Request of City to Include additional amenities and providing an effective date.
First, I just wanted to say thank you for entertaining my preference for the use of the word titled instead of entitled. Thank you very much. That makes me very happy. and now I move we approve Ordinance 2018-37.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve Ordinance number 2018-37. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
Move we approve summary publication of Ordinance 2018-37.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the summary publication of Ordinance number 2018-37. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And that leads us to, we need another executive session, but is there anything that council wants to bring up, announce? No more babies yet? Great.
No.
Nothing like that?
I thought the gobble till you wobble was cute on the sign, and I encourage more, you know, bad puns and jokes and stuff like that. I can supply you with some if needed.
We could use a list, yes.
Yeah, we should accept submissions from the public and give them some sort of small prize if theirs gets picked.
I don't know, was Jesse the one that came up with all of those?
It was Jessica. She's got a creative mind when it comes to those things, and she's fun, so we're trying to find our funness.
She gave me a list to pick, and I picked that one because it was like, that's a good one.
And we will be Saturday down at CUNA Event Center with the Artists and Crafters Show upstairs and helping kids decorate cookies downstairs.
And what are the hours on that?
10 to 5.
Okay.
And then the parade starts at 5, 6.
It has to be dark.
It has to be dark. Yeah. And there's a chili feed with the Lions Club on Main Street at 5. And
isn't the the chamber thing at the 4th Street Gym, too?
It did, yep. We've done a kind of partnered up, all of us, the Lions Club, the Chamber, and the city. So
nice.
We've been doing shared banners and shared promotions. So we're hopefully got a schedule of events out for the community so they know where to go.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then the Christmas tree lighting.
And the lights in the park look wonderful.
And then candy canes with the mayor, and Santa will be here for that.
Yes, that's coming up. I don't know, 21st, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Great.
Awesome. All right. Thank you.
And on that note, I move we adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code Section 742061E to consider preliminary negotiations involving matters of trade or commerce in which the governing body is in competition with governing bodies in other states or nations.
Second.
Thank you.
So we have a motion and a second to adjourn to executive session, and we will need Lisa and counsel. And do you want legal here for that? Okay.
Counsel and counsel.
Counsel and counsel. And I think, is that it?
We have to vote.
Jared? Oh, good.
Okay. And we still need to vote, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza? Council President Boobin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you very much.
And Bobby should stay to lock the doors when we're done.
Oh, yeah, Bobby, don't forget to lock the doors.
And then there will be no decision in the executive session or after the executive session, so that's basically all we have tonight.